بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Today we begin the tafsir of Surah Al-Rahman. Surah Al-Rahman is a surah that is beloved to many people. Many Muslims like to recite it because of its beauty. It has 78 verses, and 31 times there's a repeated verse, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. It's one of the Makki surahs that deal with strengthening the faith of individuals, establishing the iman strongly in the heart, by speaking about many different manifestations of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows so many bounties and so many gifts out of His generosity on the human being, on the makhluk, and especially the human being. So it really deals very fundamentally with the aqidah of the Muslim, to connect oneself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The basis for everything, the strength of our iman, the sweetness in our worship, the ability to do good, the ability to follow the commands of Allah, the ability to abstain from the prohibitions. All of that becomes easier when you do it out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way we can gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by learning more about Him. And then when we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many bounties and so many gifts, how can we deny them? Then we're told about the many different gifts that are in this world and that are for those who will give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can deny them. And then when we realize that the one who is giving all of these gifts is the most generous, the bestower, the benevolent one, the love will increase for such a person. The human being, by their very nature, as an Arabic saying goes, Al-insanu abdul ihsan. The insan is a servant of ihsan. Ihsan means when somebody does good to you. So if somebody favors you, somebody does good to you, you normally become their slave in the sense that you will begin to treat them and respect them well, you'll begin to love them and so on. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the greatest bestower of all and everything that we have, and anything that comes from anyone else is also really from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll begin to love Him more. So once this kind of aqeedah, this kind of belief is established in the heart, what does aqeedah mean? We say aqeedah, your aqeedah needs to be correct. Aqeedah comes from aqadah. Means to tie a knot. If the knot, basically if the heart is tied correctly on the right things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our body, us as a human being, we will follow suit. That's the most important thing. When the aqidah is corrupt, when a person doesn't really think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of everything, when they think that others are the source of something or the other, then we begin to overlook Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we begin to become a bit negligent. Then we're not really as worried about making Him happy or incurring His wrath. Because we think benefit comes from elsewhere. Benefit and harm comes from elsewhere. But if the aqidah is so strong that we're able to look beyond the normal things that we perceive benefit and harm from, and we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it, and we see all the bounties that we have in our life are all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even when we feel we have calamity upon us, we still have many bounties that we have to give thanks for. Once that becomes really established, then the life in this world becomes easy. Because then a person is then playing his role in this world. Their role in this world is of servitude. And to realize that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is nothing that can be denied, that is what makes it that much easier. That is what Surah Al-Rahman is all about. And then, it's so beautiful to read it. But if you read it with understanding, then you can reflect over these bounties, because that's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of this is not just some kind of a beautiful chapter. It's about the meaning that's in there. In a hadith, it mentions لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَرُوسٌ وَعَرُوسُ الْقُرْآنِ سُورَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Everything has a bride, meaning everything is made up. Like in everything, there's something that you adorn, embellish like a bride. And that among the Quran is Surah Ar-Rahman. Surah Ar-Rahman is like the adorned one in its beauty. See, there's more fada'il for Surah Yasin. There's more fada'il, more virtues, certain benefits that are gained about Surah Ad-Dukhan, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Al-Kahf, Surah Al-Baqarah. But you see that when somebody wants to memorize a surah of the Quran after Yasin, normally they go to Surah Ar-Rahman. Even though the virtues, specific virtues about the surahs, they're not as many about Surah Ar-Rahman. One of the most famous hadith about Surah Ar-Rahman is this aspect, that it's an adornment, but the heart is so close to it because it's beautiful and it speaks about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The surah begins, and you'll see from the in-depth tafsir that we do of each verse, the surah begins. I'm just going to give us an overview of the surah. The surah begins first by speaking about some of the great and mighty, clear signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are His bounties, which obviously cannot be enumerated. But firstly, it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the Quran. It speaks about teaching, speaks about education, speaks about knowledge. Anybody who understands knowledge and education will understand that that is the tool for everything. Without knowledge, you can't understand Allah. Without knowledge, you can't understand the purpose of this world for the human being. Without knowledge, you can't move forward in this world and be successful. And then without knowledge, you cannot be successful in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with the fact of mentioning that He taught us the Quran. He taught the human being the Quran. علم القرآن خلق الإنسان, created the human being, taught him how to speak, taught him how to express himself. Taught him how to express himself. We can express ourselves to animals, but it's a lot more difficult for animals to express themselves to us. Just the ability of speech that we have, this comprehensible speech. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts speaking about all of the major things like the sun and the moon and the stars, the trees, the heavens that are standing up there without any pillars that we can see, and every fascinating qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that could be seen in all of these things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the earth, speaks about the many things that He grows for us and gives us through the earth. The crops, the different types of fruit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the bounties of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the oceans. How He has an ocean, vast expanse of water, but allows these ships to sail in these oceans. That's another bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He speaks about the heavens, speaks about the cosmic system, speaks about the earth, speaks about the water, speaks about the water of the earth, and how you can overcome that, how you can deal with that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how everything is temporary. All of these things that we see, it's at the end of the day, it's all going to be temporary, and eventually it will all perish. And nothing will remain except the creator of all of these things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the main thing, that these are all things we've spoken about, are all about the world. Everything of this world is all about the hereafter. It has an effect and an influence on the hereafter. So then He starts to speak about the Day of Judgment. But there is more discussion in this surah. Out of the 5.5 pages, 2 full pages, only 1 page is about frightening aspects, warnings, punishments. And 2 whole pages are about the bounties of those who will be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obedient ones. And among that there are two levels as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here describes them in detail. That those who fear the position of their Lord, they will receive this. And then those who are close will receive this. So let us start the surah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان.
The Rahman. So we begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, after seeking refuge from Shaitan, the accursed. The Rahman, meaning the all-merciful one, has taught the Qur'an, he has created man, he has taught him how to express himself. The sun and the moon are bound by a fixed calculation, and the vine and the tree both prostrate to Allah. He raised the sky high and has placed the scale, so that you should not be wrongful in weighing. Observe the correct weight with fairness and do not make waiting or weighing deficient. As for the earth, he has placed it for creatures in which there are fruits and date palms having sheaths and the grain having the chaff and fragrant flowers. So, O mankind and jinn, which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? That's how it starts. Now, if we are to speak about each one of these things in detail and really open them up, it would become very, very detailed, because each one of these is so significant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by saying the most merciful one. It starts off with Ar-Rahman. That is the name of the surah. The most merciful one. Rahman. Just starts off with that. Why do you think he starts off with Rahman? As opposed to Al-Qahhar, or Al-Muntaqim, or any of the other names. He starts off with his name of beauty, of generosity, of rahmah and mercy, to attract and to soften the hearts of people that, look, this is your Lord who is merciful. And the reason why he's giving you all of these things is because he's the most merciful Lord. So Ar-Rahman. عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. The first thing he speaks about is, he taught you the Qur'an. That's very significant. If you look, it says, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. He taught the Qur'an, and he created the human being. Why wasn't it he created the human being and taught him the Qur'an? The Qur'an is bought first. Then he created the human being. There could be a number of reasons for that. One thing which comes to mind straight away is that the Qur'an is older than the human being. Because the Qur'an is the eternal speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it was revealed in this world at a particular time in our history. 1400 years ago. But the Qur'an is originally the eternal speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has always been with him. So it's older than the human being. The human being comes afterwards. But what the Mufassireen, normally they mention, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about the highest of the bounties first, which is the Qur'an. Because if you had human beings without the Qur'an, then we'd be nowhere. The Qur'an is the manual of life. It makes life, and it gives it the value that it's supposed to have. To understand the rights and wrongs. To understand the way to live. To understand who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. The Qur'an is the greatest. The Qur'an is the out of all of the books as well, the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil, and the other scriptures that came down to other prophets. They say that there's 104 scriptures that were sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the course of history. Four, the 100, and then there's four. The four are the main ones, the Quran, the Zabur, the Injil, the Psalms, the Evangel, and the Torah. Then 100, these were smaller. Some of these scriptures were given to Sheith alayhi salam, some were to Ibrahim alayhi salam. There were some that were given in addition to the Torah to Musa alayhi salam. Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. Right. So, out of all of those, the Quran is the most superior of the revelations that have come down onto the earth, on any of his prophets. It's the one that has been mentioned the most and read the most. If you just look today, how many people possibly read the Torah, or the Zabur, or the Injil even. Even though there may be more Christians in the world, but how many actually sit down and read the Bible? Right. Even if you don't look at what's accurate in there and what's not accurate in there, what was additionally added later. The amount of Quran that is recited every day, just think about it. That the Muslims, you know, even if you say a huge amount of them pray and a huge amount of them don't pray, those who pray, there's a Quran being recited. There are verses that we say all the time. So the amount of Quran that's being recited has a very high position It's the one that's most quoted. And it says that it's the most influential when it comes to for the deen, for the prosperity of the deen, for the strengthening of the deen. Reading the Quran is the most effective thing that you could do. That's why there's a hadith. One sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to read lots of Quran. And the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that anybody who spends so much time with the Quran that they don't even have time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or anything else, Allah will give them whatever's best for them, even without them asking. Because you're reading the Quran. That's how powerful this Quran is. So it has a very very strong influence on the human being. It was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of all of his creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going back to Ar-Rahman, when another verse of the Quran, it said, Usjudu lir-Rahman, that was revealed, means, go and prostrate for the most merciful one. So the kuffar of Makkah, they said, وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ. What is this Rahman you're speaking about? We don't normally use this term. Who is Rahman that you're describing? The most merciful one. So they found it strange. They denied it. They rejected it. لَا نَعْرِفُ الرَّحْمَانِ. We don't know the Rahman. That's what they said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الرَّحْمَان, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. That this surah was revealed. These verses were revealed to show who the Rahman is. I mean, subhanAllah, what kind of ignorant people would say, we don't know who the most merciful one is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this to show who the Rahman is and all the bounties that He gives you out of His mercy. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching the Qur'an, you could speak about this for hours. You know, the benefit of the Qur'an. We don't have the time because this is supposed to be a concise commentary. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching the Quran, He's made it easy. Young children are able to memorize it. Older people are able to memorize it. I remember I went into one madrasa, one seminary. There was an old man with a white beard sitting there. So what is he doing here? He said he's come to memorize the Quran. You know, I can understand a 6-year-old child memorizing the Quran. I personally think it's a lot more difficult for a 70-year-old man to memorize the Quran. And he was sitting there reading away. And it's something I've seen with my own eyes. I don't know what happened afterwards, but this is something I've seen. Then he created the insan. He created this special makhluk who has characteristics of the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walks just like other animals do, other created animals do. Eats, drinks, copulates, reproduces. But then there's one thing that we gave him. We gave the human being. We gave this insan that others don't have. Which is this ability to converse and comprehend and to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus be given a choice for that. And then to subjugate the other animals as well. So the human being who's able to listen, who's able to hear, who's able to speak, who's able to see. And the insan here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ, is not referring to any particular human being. It's talking about human beings in general, that Allah created the human being. Now, if you have any value for yourself, you realize that Allah who created you, He must be a majestic creator. Because the human knows their own intricacies. You can compare yourself to other animals. Can you imagine that you've got this big elephant, and people ride on elephants? How can you subjugate an elephant, a camel, a horse? All of these animals are bigger than human beings, physically, in strength, in prowess. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that ability. And then, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, He taught them how, this is what makes the human distinct from others. He created the human being, just in case you don't understand the distinguishing features of a human being, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, gave you the ability to articulate yourself, to say how you feel, to say what you're thinking, to be able to convince somebody of something, to make somebody cry by speaking to them, to make somebody happy by speaking to them, by saying and using certain words. Obviously everybody has a different level of all of these things. Not everybody is as eloquent as others are. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the human being this ability to speak, to articulate themselves, to express themselves in a way that expresses their inner feelings, their desires. That is what makes them distinct from other human beings. So the Baydawi, who was one of the great Mufassirs, he said that the whole point of mentioning all of these things is just to start speaking about the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, starting from the absolute basic personal, which is that it's the creation of the human being and his ability to speak. But that ties in with the Quran, because the Quran, you will read it, you'll understand it, you can explain it and teach it to others. Another reason why the Quran is mentioned first before the human being's creation is because the human creation, it's a fact. But to take our attention to the fact that from your deen, the things which matter for your hereafter, what is the most important thing for you to know? And that is the fact that the Quran has been taught to you. That it's from all of the deeny bounties, the Quran is the greatest bounty that you have. The hadith is a tafsir for it. Is an explanation for it. So that's why it was mentioned first, that because we're speaking about the things which are of benefit to you. Just telling you that Allah created you as a human being, but then you need something to get to, you need something to get beyond that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentioned that first. Then, الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the sun and the moon. These are two things which are so important for human beings. The sun and the moon. The sun by day, the moon at night. Especially for people who didn't have artificial electricity, artificial light, and other means of warming themselves up, or seeing and illuminating, and being able to see their way through the dark, and guiding themselves. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is, الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ. He didn't just say, I created the heaven, the sun and the moon, but بِحُسْبَانِ. حُسْبَان refers to, it's like غُفْرَان, كُفْرَان, which means at a very intricate level, something done at an intricate level. غُفْرَان, as opposed to مَغْفِرَة, means like a very strong forgiveness. A كُفْرَانُ النِّعْمَة, as opposed to kufrun ni'mah. Kufran is got a more intensive meaning. So husban here is created so intricately, with an intricate system. And we discussed some of that in the previous surah Yasin, that the sun and the moon are in a very intricate system, which is explained in other places. Here's just a reminder that the Quran, that the sun and the moon is created with a very intricate system, that they follow a particular pattern, They do their task. There's a very particular task that they perform for this world, and it's very necessary for this world. Even the moon, with the tides and the connections and the associations that have been discovered, that's also. Then وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ. There are other things which are important as well, but not to the level of the sun and the moon. It meant Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those najm wa shajar. The najm is the stars, and the shajar are the trees. Yasjudan, they prostrate. They prostrate. Now here, prostration of the sun, prostration of the stars, and the trees, that is not something that we normally observe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If it's in a literal meaning, Allah knows best to its meaning. But what's normally described here or commented here about what they mean is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the stars and the trees, they submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the stars being in different constellations for people to be able to benefit from, that there's a predictable kind of constellation that they're in every night of the year, so that people can understand where are we, where are we going, what direction do we have to go in, and there's a benefit to that. For us, we don't really see any benefit in the stars, if we even get the tawfiq to ever look at them. But for people who don't have the means that we do, which is a lot of the world, They use this, and traditionally they've used this. And the trees, their submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by producing the fruits and the food that nourishes us. The way this translation has it is, and the vine and the tree both prostrate to Allah. He's translated najm, not a star, but in another meaning, another possible meaning, because the word is a homonym, which means it has more than one meaning. And so that it's the vine. So the vine, the normal vine, and then you've got the tree. Right? So those trees which are more like palms and vine, and then there's the trees. So he's saying, it is common use for star and for a plant whose stem requires support, and which climbs on a wall, etc. Both meanings are possible here. It could mean star, or it could mean a vine that normally... A tree is something that stands on its own. It has its own trunk. But a vine, he's saying, the najm, refers to that which needs support. So you either have to tie it up to something, or it climbs up a wall, or something of that nature. Right? So he's taking that meaning. In view of its conjunction with tree, most exegetes have taken it in the sense of vine. Their total submission to Allah's command is described in the verse as their prostration. That their branches... I mean, it could be taken literally, that their prostration in the sense that their branches stoop down eventually. That's their prostration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the vines, you have to actually prop them up. You have to support them up, because they're constantly prostrating to the ground. That's if you take that literally. You could take it metaphorically as well. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. Which is, he raised the sky high. He raised the sky high so that you should not be... No. He raised the sky high and has placed the scale. This requires a lot more commentary. But وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا. The heavens, he put high. He elevated it. He elevated it and you'd never think it's going to fall down. We're so secure that the heavens are up there. They're not going to fall on us. With anything else, you need to keep strengthening it. But the heaven is such a massive roof for this earth, but you feel secure underneath it, except for punishment, as believing people would believe that punishment can come from the heavens. وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. And he placed the scale. Some have described this placing the scale as a physical scale, which by which you're able to make rightful decisions about how much you give to someone and how much you pay someone. Because that is such an important aspect that every human being does it. You either use money or you barter with goods. It's one of the oldest. You know, nothing comes for free in this world. Even in societies where they work on a community basis, where somebody's producing wheat, somebody's producing sugar, somebody's cutting hair. So what happens in these kind of, that they're like a cooperative. The person who's producing the wheat, whatever their total yearly crop is, they will distribute it within the members of that community, of that village. Everybody gets a shared amount. The one who's producing sugar, he'll give out. The one who's cutting hair, his responsibility is every week to go around and cut people's hair. Right? So everybody's kind of in this cooperative. But even in that, it's just an exchange at the end of the day. Exchanging and dealing like this is so important. If there wasn't a scale to measure exact amounts, then can you imagine how difficult that would be and the dispute that would cause because of just doing it in general? So in some things, you can do things like that in general. But that's what causes. If it's about, I'll give you a fistful. I'll give you a fistful. I'll give you a cupful. There's a difference in the two. But even with the cup, you have to know how much there is. That's why these scales, they're very important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we're giving you this bounty. By it, you avoid so many disputes. You know clearly that this is the way it is. وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. Right, another one, وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ, is we placed the mizan, means the qanun, law. That we placed on earth the law, by which you conduct yourselves, by which you deal with each other, and your life remains stable, because you follow a certain law. That's why if you look at the world, why is it that there are people from around the world who, there are certain countries where immigration to that country is more than to other countries? It's ajeeb. In some countries, you can literally drive into that country and they don't mind. But in other countries, you'll have to do a lot to get in. They will check you and make sure that you are entitled to come in. And yet there are other countries you can literally drive in anytime, no problem. There's a reason for these things. And if you look at it, most of the places where people want to migrate to, it's because of stability of some sort. And stability comes from what? Stability comes from a system, a law. Mizan. That is so important. If there's a lot of money to be made in a place, but there's no law there, would you go there? Right now, there are so many countries that are opening up where you could go and start a business. You'd be a pioneer. You could bring in so many because it's open markets. But there's no stability. Would you go there? Few people would, but not the majority of people. Majority of people, they want stability. They want law. They want justice. وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established justice. And the thing about justice normally, if you look around, that any dynasty, any ruling system that has been successful is because of the justice that they upheld. Once you start to violate justice, you go down. Because it's so important to the human being. The Uthmanis were considered, one of the biggest of the Uthmani, the Ottomans, was Suleiman, the Magnificent. His name in Turkey is Suleiman al-Qanuni. Qanun means the law, the canon. Justice is so important that you know you can get your right to a certain degree. There's no perfect place in this world. Everywhere there is going to be some kind of civilized corruption going on. Favors being, you know, and bribes. And there's going to be that everywhere. But in general, where if you compare one place to another, it's really sad. That those who are supposed to be upholding justice are in many cases not upholding justice. Those who are, they have stability. So it doesn't matter what you are, if you're, as a human being, as a human society, if you're upholding justice, you'll get stability. You'd have all other corruptions that are eating up. There'll be other cancers within it. But you'll have a general stability. It's like, if you look in this country, there's general stability. Yes, we've got major problems inside. You know, people taking drugs and all sorts of stuff. You know, the people killing themselves from within. Doing all sorts of harmful things to themselves. But at least there's stability. So, if you take this, وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the scale. A scale not as a physical scale, but as a system. And then it says, وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ It's translated here as, that you do not be wrongful in weighing. But, if we take that on a grand scale, that you're not unjust. You don't go against the law of the right and wrong. Because that is the greatest bounty that you will have. If there's a law of right and wrong. And then, وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ When you do establish any kind of trade or anything of that matter, and as he translates it here, observe the correct weight with fairness, and do not make weighing deficient. Do not cheat with one another on a small scale, in your small... Because what they used to do is, they used to sometimes attach a... And they didn't have electronic scales. Right? They didn't have electronic scales. They had the two pans that were balanced with each other. So most of the time, you would never see the two scales balanced because there'd always be a weight on one side. And if they were to change it to, you know, something more heavier, then they'll just take that one off and put the other one on. But you'd never really see it. So what they could do is they would do these different things. They would place a piece of lead or heavy metal under the pan in which they would normally put the grain for you to weigh for you. So you know already you've lost because you know there's already, or the stone would look big but it'd be a light stone. Right, it won't be a very heavy stone. It looks heavy, but it's not. And there were different things happening like this. And this is all haram. That's why the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, that's what they were taken to task for. Because they used to really be very corrupt in this regard. But that's an example. There were probably others as well. That's an example for us to understand from. So وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ خَسَرْ خَسَارَ Do not be deficient in your weighing. That's so important. Why would something like that be mentioned here? Don't be deficient in your weighing. Because that is what messes up society. Imagine how bad you feel if you feel you've been cheated. Then you want to take revenge. This causes so much dispute, conflict and problems. That's why from verses like this, we understand many ahkam. It says that any transaction you do with someone where there's ignorance about exactly what you have to give or how much you have to give, that would become makruh. It'd be undesirable. For example, if you said that, I'll give you this much. I'll give you a car for this. You could go with a 200 pound car. And that person must be thinking that you're a decent guy, you'll probably give him a 500 pound car for that. I'll give you a pen. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll give you a handful. Now, a handful is so... You could kind of hold it loosely. You could hold it, very tightly. I mean, these things, it's all ignorance. So it makes it makruh to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts another surah with this. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ Woe and destruction be to those who give short measure. These things are so important. They're so basic, but they're so important. And nowadays, with the modern scales that we have, I mean, you could calibrate them wrong. I mean, what these companies do nowadays is that, when you buy packets of something, if you compare packets that were sold 10 years ago to what you can buy now, they've decreased. Chocolate bars have become smaller. Collection of sweets or chocolates used to have maybe 20 pieces, now they'll have 15. Right? Everything is kind of becoming smaller. The worst is when you buy a big box of chocolate biscuits, cookies or something. And the way they make up the trays inside, You'd feel that you've got so many biscuits in there, but the way they make up the plastic inserts in there, that they only fit two in and then the rest of it is just plastic. That's the worst of it. You think you're getting a nice big box of it, and when you open it up, there's just a few. And then it's the good ones are less, and the, you know, the staple kind of thing, that's there's more of that. I'm not saying that's wrong, because they probably mention it somewhere on the box or whatever. And then there's a grammage that's mentioned. But the tin is really big. The box is really big. So I don't know if that comes in here, but it's definitely some kind of deception, I think. Wallahu a'lam. It's a wasting of resources. That a big box. But nowadays, you know, there is this movement to minimize packaging. So they're making it smaller. And the more expensive something is, even if it's small, the bigger box it has to come in. Just to make it look like that. You think you're getting more because there's more packaging, and then you're going to throw all that away. Unless you're obsessed and you keep it around. وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَالنَّخْلُ ذَاتُ الْأَكْمَامِ وَالْحَبُّ ذُ الْعَصْفِ وَالرَّيْحَانِ. These things were so important. And they are so important for us, but because we don't deal with it directly, we're not a farming community. You know, we don't do these things on our own. We just go to a shop and buy them. That's why we don't really understand the real significance of this, because we don't deal with it directly. To have a good crop that year. Can you imagine if you've been working behind a crop for that entire year and then a disease spread through it and it didn't give you anything and you lost it after a year? It's probably bigger than if your shares just all went down. Because this, you can actually see this huge field of crops and suddenly you can't use it anymore. And then you have to deal with it. If your shares going down, you've lost it. You don't have to dispose of anything. Right? You've just lost it. You don't have to do any cleanup. But this, I'm assuming that for people who have a large farm or something of that nature, and their crops get destroyed, can you imagine how they would feel? You think you'd feel worse if you lost some money in your investment? The investment, I mean, the modern Islamists said, don't worry, we'll clean it up for you as well. You don't have to clean up, you'll just lose it, that's it. You don't have to do any cleanup. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the earth, He has placed it for creatures. The earth is for you to use. For creatures, in which there are fruits and date palms having sheaths, and the grain having chaff, and fragrant flowers. Saying that all of these things are going to be used. You're going to eat some of this, the rest of it you're going to make different things with. Your animals are going to eat the chaff. You're going to use it for different functions. Everything is for it to be used. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about how the human was formed. The creation of the human being and the jinn. Inshallah, we'll discuss that in the next session. اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا اله الا انت سبحانك انا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو اهله جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو اهله اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى اللهم ارحمنا بالقران العظيم واجعله لنا اماما وهدى ونورا ورحمه اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا اللهم ارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار اللهم ارحم المسلمين جميعا اللهم اغفر للمسلمين جميعا اللهم انصر المسلمين جميعا اللهم انصر المسلمين في سبيلك اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا في سبيلك اللهم احفظ المسلمين في كل أنحاء العالم اللهم احفظ المسلمين من البلاء والآفات والمحن اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله